in my soul. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for being real in our souls. We pray today, dear Lord, that today you might manifest your power in each of our lives. We ask, dear Lord, that you will speak to us. Speak to us. Words that will inspire our hearts, that will cause us to move to higher heights in spirituality. In Jesus' name we pray. When Barack Obama made the announcement that Osama bin Laden had been killed, there was jubilation in the streets across the United States of America. But the number one terrorist had been laid to rest. But only to surface again under ISIS with a greater degree of sophistication, more brutal, more dangerous. It seems as if things are getting worse and worse. There is another group that has surfaced inside of the household of faith that is far more detrimental than ISIS. I was telling my class, and I said that Landry, I said, when I really learn how to work this thing, talking about this tablet here, I'm gonna be a bad man. That's that's Ali's phrase, Muhammad Ali. Be a bad man. The information that's accessible on this thing is phenomenal. I can lay down in the bed. My wife wake up and say, "You still woke?" Yep. Kind of addicted to it a little bit. Like I say, when I really learn how to operate, I'm going to be a bad man. But we live in an age where there is but one constant, and that is change itself. And it seems as if more change take place, the more things remain the same. I would like for you to turn with me to the book of Romans. What book did I say? Book of Romans, the 16th chapter. Where the Apostle Paul, writing, concluding his letter to the book to the Romans, sends out personal greetings to many individuals. In the beginning, and I will not go into trying to pronounce all of these names and the greetings that he's making to different ones. But the Apostle Paul, in the midst of sending out his greetings, came up with a rather abruptly interrupted those greetings in verse 17. He says, I urge you, my brothers, watch out for those who cause what? Divisions and upset people's faith and go against the teachings which you have learned, received. Keep away from them. For those who do such things are not serving Christ our Lord, but their own appetites. By their fine words, what kind of words? By their fine words and flattering speech, what kind of speech? Flattering speech. They deceive innocent people. Everyone has heard of your loyalty in the gospel. And for this reason, I am happy about you, and I want you to be wise about what is good, but innocent in what is evil. And God, our source of peace, will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Now there was a group of individuals who were attacking the church of the living God by shedding spurious doctrines. Paul says they were doing this contrary to what you had received. One of the things that the internet does is produce a mass amount of information. But we have to be careful what we are opening our minds to. Huh? And I'd be the last person to tell you, don't go into certain areas. Because I have one of those inquiring minds. But I also got sense enough to, when it comes down to spiritual matters, according to the law or the testimony, if it's not in harmony with this, these things, it's because there is no light in it. So I don't need to fulfill, have my mind full of things that there's no light in it. Sort of like the government agents. When they go to deal with counterfeit, they don't go taking samples of all of the counterfeit and waste all that time examining the counterfeit under the microscope. They take the genuine U.S. currency. And they study it so well that when someone tries to pass a counterfeit bill over to them, they know it's not the genuine. And you and I must have that same attitude when it comes down to counterfeit doctrine. You have to study about Buddhism and all those isms. You study it. The gospel of the kingdom. Otherwise, we'll be caught up in being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. See, the devil updates and sophisticates his stratagems to meet the situation. Everything that God has, the devil's got a counterfeit. And so just like the internet, TVs, and all of the innovations that God has permitted man to bring forth can be good, used for good, and it also can be used for evil. So Paul is giving the warning not only to the church at Rome, but he's sending a warning message to you and I that we not fall into the trap of believing everything that's out there. The controversy is still going on, and it's going on a different level. The things that makes ISIS more dangerous than Osama bin Laden was the use of the internet. Because they sent out a message, sent out that message and radicalized individuals in their own country that some of them would drag up and go to great lengths to join up with ISIS on the battlefield. They paint a rosy picture. That's what Paul is talking about when he said that they're speaking smooth words. Paint a rosy picture of how life can be over here. And so the young people in particular are enticed and adventuresome to go out and join this great cause and movement, so they think. But the reality is altogether different when they get there. I ask myself the question, what would make an individual strap a suicide vest on themselves, walk into a crowd of people and pull the string and blow themselves up to kill somebody else? The first law of nature is self-preservation. You will do whatever is necessary to protect yourself. But people who have the mindset of destroying themselves in order to destroy somebody else, what kind of barriers can you, defense can you have? Then that next step is to, you don't have to come over here. There are encumbrances that will prevent you from coming over there. Stay where you are. Just find some way to carry out the diabolical schemes. And as I pondered these things and was pride the spiritual application, reading the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, there are a number of independent ministries. What did I say? Independent ministries. Former pastors and leaders who have left the Seventh-day Adventist Church and established themselves their own little dynasty. And they're publishing things on the internet that attacks the Church of the Living God, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, with all kinds of foolishness, speculation, and is having an impact upon Berean Church, whether you know it. Because I've come over here several different times, and right out there in that booth, printed materials are left there that have nothing to do with us as Seventh-day Adventists. And Paul makes the statement, I urge you, my brother, watch out for those who cause divisions and upset people's faith and go against the teaching. That's a doctrinal thing. Why are they doing this? And there are folk that are here in Berea that put that information out. And I would dare say that some are picking it up and reading it and being impacted by it. You know, as a saying, that fools rush in where wise men dread to tread. So I have to watch myself, because I straddle the fence sometimes. And then in my ways, it seems as if I'm getting back to some of the things I did when I was young. I don't mind confronting something. You know what I'm saying? And it has to be confronted, because we are to be watchmen on the wall. To protect those that are vulnerable inside of the household of faith. Now, do you think a Cadillac dealer is going to allow the Ford dealership to start promoting Fords in their dealership? Huh? Oh, no. It ain't going to happen. And the reverse is not going to happen. Now, the greatest enemy, and I used the expression maybe not the last time, but the Charlie Brown deal, where he dressed up in his war clothes, his rifle with the bayonets fixed on him, looking around for the enemy. And he walked up there and he saw that mirror hanging on the tree. And he looked in and he said, uh-oh, we has done met the enemy. And he looked again and he said, uh-oh, the enemy is us. Huh? We got to be careful. And I'm not trying to throw an era of suspicion within the household of faith that we're looking at everybody cross-eyed. No, no. Because you don't know who they are, and I don't either. But I know what the results is. Yeah. I've talked with some of them as a result of what they have been into, gotten hooked into. And I'm being barraged with a number of different names. Do you know so-and-so? Do you know so-and-so? Have you ever heard of anybody by the name of so-and-so? No. I have the slightest idea who you're talking about. I'm not concerned about following another man. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I don't think we ought to be following anybody so close that you can't see that Christ is ahead of them. Huh? No, I don't know these people. I'm not concerned about them. About what they're doing. Paul, after meeting with all of the intelligentsia and those wise men up back there and philosophers on Mars Hill, said, I am persuaded to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I follow Jesus anyway. Huh? But some of these folk that's out there, that disgruntled, got pet peeves. I said to you about, you're not going to be promoting no Chevrolet up in the Cadillac. The devil wasn't going to stay up there in God's kingdom and promote his stuff. Somebody's got to go. And God wasn't going to be the one to go. Huh? Old folks used to say, you know, look, boy, if you want to do what you want to do, you go out there and get your own place out there. Huh? Number one king on the throne in hell, that's me. Oh, is that? Oh, yeah. Now, once you get out of that house, you go do whatever you want to do, but not in here. See what I'm saying? They got some individuals that have been disfellowshipped from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Why did? And they asked the question. I wasn't doing anything immoral. I wasn't doing anything contrary to this, that, and the other. But they have rules. Do you think that you're going to work for a company and you're going to bash the manager of that company publicly and you still going to work there? Huh? No. You're going to talk about what the denomination is doing this and that and the other. Put it on the airwaves and you're going to get the paycheck still? No. Not going to happen. But when you get knocked out, then all of a sudden, they are no good. They are the Antichrist. Huh? No. And so they're being sophisticated enough because they don't have to prove anything. Just put it out there. You go read and you start buying into that. And the ultimate goal is this. Because when these independent ministries are taken off of the Seventh-day Adventist list, they got to have some money. That's bottom line. So they got to get it from somewhere. And their ultimate goal is to find somebody that's not sophisticated enough to see through what their intentions are. And they start to bombard and recruiting. And that literature starts showing up out there on the desk, being sent to people's homes, and this kind of thing. No. First of all, we ought to study and know what we believe. Huh? There's an element of truth in just about every lie. That's what makes it sound so good. Truth mixed with error is worse than error by itself. Sort of like the story my uncle told. Man said that there was a whale in the Mississippi River. All of a sudden, there was a big crowd going down there to see whether that was true, see the whale in the Mississippi River. He went down another street before he could say there's a whale in the Mississippi. There was a big crowd of people, and the one that was in front, forefront, said, there's a whale down in the Mississippi River. He looked around, he said, let me go see. He started believing his own lie. truth mixed with error is worse than error by itself. Now, based on the little venture that I went into, we have some legitimate concern. But there's a way to deal with it. But they don't want to deal with it within the right way. It's been outlined by the scriptures. If you have aught against your brother, what should you do? You go to the brother. And you take it to the brother. And if he refuses to hear you, what else? You go take somebody with you. Now, if they don't want to reconcile behind that and straighten up themselves, the next thing is bring it to the church. The church has authority to deal with division in the church of a spiritual nature. God gave it that power. When that was concerned about whether the Gentiles had to be circumcised, that caused a division, a doctrinal concern. How was that resolved? In a general conversation in Jerusalem. Said, look, let those folk who want to be circumcised, let them be circumcised. Those folk who don't want to be circumcised, don't worry about it. The thing that we are concerned about is the meat that's offered to idols. And this kind of thing. That was resolved. But in spite of that, there are those who still want to be persistent and go on their merry way doing what they want to do. Again, Paul says, I urge you, my brother, watch out for those who cause divisions and upset people's faith and go against the teachings which you have received. Keep away from them. For those who do such things are not serving Christ our Lord, but their own appetites. By their fine words and flattering speech, they deceive innocent people. I chose to read that out of today's English version of the Bible. So Paul comes a little stronger with that in different translations. I don't want anybody to leave here saying Brother Wilson calling me simple. He called me stupid or all that. No. They're innocent people. So that takes care. But the result, but the meaning is the same. Now, if we are going to, do we really know what we believe? Could you take the Bible and explain to somebody what you believe? And sometimes we suffer as a result of guilt by association. Take a few years ago at Waco, where David Koresh was over there, had all those folk up in there, and they had a little siege going on. The next thing you know, they was talking about Seventh-day Adventists. Had boarded themselves into this building and started shooting at the agents and all that kind of thing. Well, the brethren, when they first heard that, the first thing they did was jump on the telephone to the news meeting and tell them, look, you Seventh-day Adventists are not involved with that. They had some former Seventh-day Adventists who were involved with that. You know what I'm saying? A group of individuals that had broken away from the Seventh-day Adventist church, anybody around here old enough to know anything about Shepherd Ross? You heard about Shepherd Ross? They're still doing their thing. I went to the general conference session. They out there just passing out their materials. You go to camp meeting, they go over there too. You know what I'm saying? You got to know what you believe. But As far as the public is concerned, Seventh-day Adventists were boarding themselves up, shooting at the agents and this kind of thing. A big lie. So I'm going to take time this morning to go over some of the tenets of the faith. Time will not permit me to go beyond that. See, if you want to know what the United States stands for, you go to the Constitution of the United States. Okay? And because, how can I say? Because you got somebody that interprets something in the wrong way, you can't blame the United States for it. In every denomination, there are some coots. I shouldn't have said coots. Because the next logical thing, you got some coots in the Adventist church. Huh? Every denomination got coots. They got some people, they will not read anything other than what Martin Luther said. You know, Martin Luther started that Reformation. But there were other people involved in the Reformation besides Martin Luther. So they go around with all of Martin Luther's books. You got some folk go around with nothing but E.G. White books. And they know nothing about the Bible. But they can say, Ellen White said. Until they run across something and you say, Ellen White said this, they say, that's her opinion. That's because they're cutting across the grain. But I'm talking about, what do we really believe? They got these people putting all kinds of stuff out there. In your baptismal vows, you will find the tenets and the core beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm going to read a summary of some of them. Number one, it says, do you believe God the Father in his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the triune God. We believe in God the Father. We believe in God his Son, Jesus Christ, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. Second, it says, do you accept the just death of Jesus Christ on Calvary as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of men and believe that through faith in his shed blood, men are saved from sin and its plenty? Penalty. Hey. No, we don't believe in once saved, always saved. We don't believe in salvation by works. We believe that we are saved by grace, by faith through grace in the blood of Jesus Christ alone. Period. That's written. Now, there are people who will accuse us of being legalists. It says, renouncing the world and its sinful ways, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and do you believe that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you your sins and given you a new heart? Jesus died to save us from our sins, not in our sins. So a change is going to take place. We believe a change is going to take place. With most folk who baptize, they go down as a symbol of that inward change. This is an outward display of an inward change that takes place. And we come out walking in the newness of life. Where there are others, go down, dry devils, and come up, wet devils. Now you want to make sure that's not you. You see? And I have to make sure that's not me that's doing that, because the change has to take place. Do you believe that the Bible is God's inspired word and that it constitutes the only rule of faith and practice for the Christian? Huh? Bible only. You got those out there will say that Seventh-day Adventist Church believe in Ellen White. Not the Bible. It's Ellen White. Well, they got something like that. That's one of them kooks out there. Ellen White herself says my writings are a lesser light pointing to the greater light, which is the scripture. It's down here what Seventh-day Adventists believe. And it's the only rule for practice for the Christian. Do you accept the Ten Commandments as still binding upon Christians? And is it your purpose by the power of the indwelling Christ to keep his law, including the fourth commandment, which requires the observance of the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath of the Lord? That's something that want to say that the law was done away with. And to say you legalists because you can't talk about keeping the law. Now, most Christian churches believe in nine of the commandments. Oh, yeah. You can go anywhere to any of the Protestant churches around here, and they don't believe it's all right to commit adultery, even though some might be doing it. They don't believe it, right? They don't believe that it's okay to lie and to steal and to kill. As far as God's concerned and his requirements, is either he requires, see, notice what it says, that 10 commandments. Not ten options. We have this cafeteria mentality where we think we can pick and choose. No. Go ahead and pick a dinner and say, well, look, I want some of this, I want some of that. That's fine. You skip over what you want, pick up what you don't want and skip over what you don't want. But with God, it's a commandment. He gives no option. And to make sure that he was understood, he spoke it and he wrote it with his own fingers two times. See? The word says he's not writing it on tablets of stone, but he is writing it up on the fleshy tables of our hearts. See? We're not legalists because of that. But the fact that we say the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, including that fourth commandment, then the whole lot of them got some issues with that. Maybe one of them might have issues talking about idolatry. You know. But it is no picking and choosing. He that keeps the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Now, the very name that we have here, say, is the soon coming of Jesus the blessed hope of your heart? And are you determined to be personally ready to meet the Lord and do all in your power to witness to his loving salvation and by life and word to help others to be ready for his glorious appearance? You looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ? I am. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Get out of this sin-cursed world. Do you accept the biblical teaching of spiritual gifts And do you believe in the gift of prophecy in the remnant church is one of the identifying marks of the church? My Bible teaches me that surely the Lord will do nothing except he revealed it to his servants, the prophets. I read one person say, he said to me, you think nobody ain't going to be saved but Seventh-day Adventists? I said, no, I don't think that. That's your conclusion. Jesus says, other sheep have I that are not in this fold. Them also I must bring. I say, what I'm trying to do is get you out of the false fold to get you in the real fold. Huh? Yeah. That's what our mission is. Go teach. And we ought to be doing it by precept and example. See? We nullify our teaching and preaching when we're not living in harmony with the standards. You can't tell people to do what I say do, not what I do. No. Not going to work. Do you believe in God's remnant church, and it is your purpose to support the church with your tithes and offerings, your personal effort and influence? When those independent ministers were cut off and disfellowshipped from the Adventist church, they lost access to the hundreds and thousands of churches that were turning in tithes and offerings to support that ministry. And those who buy into the propaganda that they're putting out there, all of a sudden they get amnesia. Where the storehouse? They got online, but bring me this, give me that. Put your money where truth is being presented, because they want to siphon off the funds that are to be used for the support of the gospel in the Seventh-day Adventist church and diverted to, that's what that Paul is talking about. Notice what Paul says. He said, for those who do such things are not serving Christ our Lord, but their own what? Appetite. They're trying to fill their coffers to carry out their lifestyle and their program with money that should be given to the cause of God. Now, we got to understand something. You're not giving to a Berean Seventh-day Adventist church. If that's what you think you're doing, you got it wrong. He said, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. It's God's house. That's what you're doing, returning unto God a portion of that which he's given to us. God has designated how it's supposed to be done. See? And he makes the promise of, if you will be faithful in turning in your tithes, I will pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. The next thing is 10. Do you believe that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and that you are to honor God? Honor who? Honor God by caring for your body, avoiding the use of that which is harmful, abstaining from all unclean foods, from the use, manufacture, and sale of alcoholic beverages, the use, manufacture, or sale of tobacco in any of its form for human consumption, and from the misuse of and the trafficking in the narcotics and other drugs. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so you may have heard the expression, even use it yourself. I have. Sometimes if I'm doing something to hurt somebody, it ain't hurting nobody but me. No. We are bought with a price, and so God expects us to take care of our bodies in the proper way. And those unclean foods have nothing to do with the Jews. God gave the message to Noah regarding unclean food. Anybody here related to Noah? Let me see your hand. I'm the only one in here related to Noah. Am I the only one in here related to Noah? When God destroyed the Antediluvian world, well, nobody left here but Noah and his family. So we are all descendants of Noah. So if he gave the distinction to Noah, he intended for Noah's offspring to do the same thing. I felt a bit redundant and reluctant to do what I'm doing now. But I think, seeing some of the responses here, that we need more of this. So we can really understand what we believe. Huh? Knowing and understanding the fundamental Bible principles that's taught by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Is it your purpose, by the grace of God, to order your life in harmony with these principles? God is not forcing us to do anything. I had a friend that was in the military. Got out of the military. He was up there at, Jimmy, you know, probably know Jimmy. We're in the ROTC together. I said, man, why in the world are you? You've been in the army, and you coming out of the army, getting in the ROTC. I said, I don't see the sense of that. He said, well, I want to go back as an officer. I'm going back as an officer, I said. I want nothing to do in the military. I don't like people telling me what to do, what time to get up, what time to go to bed, all kinds of stuff like that. Tell me they'd make you do all kinds of stupid stuff. He said, I don't believe that. That's the biggest lie out. They can't make you do nothing. He said, but if you don't follow the orders, they make you wish you had them. God will not force us to do anything. But he just simply allows us to do it our way. And when we receive the consequences of going contrary to what God has said, we certainly wish we had. Come, Landry.